There certainly can be a mixed blessing with growing older. The very fact that we live to a ripe old age means a few things are going right in life. But age itself brings a number of changes, not all uniformly pleasant. Some we have no control over. For the rest, there are lots of good ideas for approaching our later years, contained in a relentlessly upbeat book called New Aging, Live Smarter Now to Live Better Forever. Matthias Holwich is the author with Bruce Mau Design. Matthias is an architect who co-founded the firm HWKN. His work has been seen in many publications, and he won a Young Architects Award from MoMA PS1, a branch of New York's Museum of Modern Art. Matthias, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, Jeffrey. It's great to be on your show.
You appear to want to start with the terminology itself right there in the dedication. You cross out retirement community and change it to empowerment community.
Yes, this is actually what it's really all about. I think we have to avoid that people go into places they don't want to be in, and we have to change the way we design actually our environments so that older people can live there all their life happy and healthy.
So what, for example, would make a place different, make it more of an empowerment community and less of a retirement community?
The first big change is actually that we have to avoid that we just put old people into one place. Never ever in our lives we are actually age segregated, but suddenly when we're getting old, our society thought that's a great idea, so that we have nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and retirement communities. So we have to make sure that actually all the kind of services and that kind of help that is needed when we're getting older, because we do have some physical and social deficits that's going to kick in at some point, and provide them actually where people live, because ultimately people want to age at home.
Aging in place is what we're talking about here, yeah.
Exactly.
So we've had lots of people talk about ways to approach senior years, gerontologists and more. You might be the first architect, though, and I'm curious about what got you interested.
Yeah, I got interested when I, just about to turn 40, made some research into what it means to cross over that kind of barrier. And I realized that I surpassed 50% of my life expectancy. And looking into what's going to make it possible that I live a happy other part of my life, I made research and I saw these environments that are really not up to a level of living that you would wish for anyone. And as an architect, we are, of course, partially responsible when we design nursing homes and retirement communities. We're part of it and we could make some difference. But I realized that it's actually not enough to redesign them. We have to really redesign the society's attitude towards aging to make sure that we don't live in denial, that we open our eyes, look into the future, and with knowing what's coming in the future, make smart changes throughout our lives so that we can actually live the way we want all life long.
Your own analysis, starting from reaching at 40, what is ostensibly the midpoint of life, became a project for the people you work with. What was the instruction to them?
Yeah, the instruction was really to open up our eyes and to make it really personal. And I think this is really the key. Very easily we say like, oh, there's an industry that can maybe help us, politicians that can help us. But ultimately, it's really about us and making sure that we create the environments that are good for us. And some of these adjustments are actually very minor. And the beauty is that most of them actually make our lives early on much better. For example, one of the key aspects is that we have to stay social, and we have to be social, and we have to grow our social network throughout our lives. And who doesn't want to be social today? Who doesn't want to have great friends around us? So there's a great advantage already early on in lives when we do these adjustments, and they have a massive positive impact in the long future.
So I'll stick with your architecture side for a few minutes more here. The idea of then designing places to make social things happen more, how do you go about doing that? What kinds of structures do you make or facilities do you build for people?
Yeah, so we can do that already in our own environments. So, for example, we can make sure that we meet our neighbors, greet our neighbors, that we may not just jump into our car and drive to the restaurant. Maybe we take a stroll and we engage with our context. Or when me as an architect now, when I design one of the big apartment buildings, I have to make sure that the hallway is not just the infrastructure to go from the elevator to my apartment. I can make that really a social space where people want to hang out, can hang out, see each other, engage with each other. Maybe there's a pool table in the hallway so that we can all together play a little bit pool or any kind of other game. So these are these kind of tools that can be introduced into our environment to make a big difference.
So gathering spaces, not just places that you walk past. It's not all flyover country now.
Exactly. And it is really the task of first, of course, the people who design and build these buildings. But then it's also important that we as users embrace that kind of opportunity and engage with it and contribute to it.
Well, as I mentioned, the book is more than just architecture by a long way. And it's not all just dense text. Give us the visual description of what you set out to do with this book and give us some credit to the illustrator.
Yeah, we wanted to make actually sure that the book is not a long study for people, a daunting task to read through it. It's a very, very playful organization, and I worked with Bruce Mau Design out of Toronto, which are amazing graphic designers, to create a book that just draws you in, that makes it inviting and playful. And the beauty is that you can just flip through, stop at one of the chapters, see the image, and if you like what you see, there's just a title chapter that should kind of draw you in. And then you have a little bit background information, what it all means. And then the fun addition is that there's one little task that you could do right away today so that you know what to do immediately.
All right, so it's a workbook in a sense, and in a very limited sense, too. The book is called New Aging, Live Smarter Now to Live Better Forever. Matthias Holwich is the author with Bruce Mau Design and the illustrations. We'll come back and talk more with Matthias, and thoughts about aging we'll collect from you as well if you'd like to join us. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Matthias Holwich and you in a minute 20. On the Jefferson Exchange, on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking about growing older here on the Exchange today, something we can all relate to, I suppose. Matthias Holwich is an architect who took a look at his own life at age 40 and thought, how are we designing spaces for people? And decided to change his approach to not just that, but a broader look at growing older as well. His book is called New Aging, Live Smarter Now to Live Better Forever. It's a very heavily illustrated book, almost like a kids' book for adults with lots of ideas that go far beyond architecture. Join us at 800-838-3760 with your thoughts on good tips for growing old well. 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Well, my grandmother used to say when she was in her 60s, whatever you do, don't get old. And all I could think of to myself was, well, the alternative isn't that great. So she actually lived to be close to 90 herself. But the point is that not a real helpful or happy time of life for some people. And yet one of the first things you say right out of the box, Matthias, is aging is a gift. How?
Yeah, aging is a gift that we get with life, and we should really enjoy it to the fullest. And today we always, many people talk about an aging society as something horrible, but I believe it's actually the most beautiful thing, because that means we're getting older and we live longer and we can enjoy this earth many more years than generations before.
It seems like the first few pages are urges to not get stuck in a rut. And what would be some good strategies for avoiding doing things the same way all the time?
Yeah, I think we can just get up in the morning and we make a plan of something that we would enjoy to do and really follow through with it. I personally, for example, every morning I get up and I jump onto my bike, which I use to get to work, and I make a conscious decision which route I'm going to take today. And it could be the route on the water on the West Side Highway with view over the Hudson River, or I take the route through Midtown and I see the Empire State Building. And really enjoying every moment, because that is the value that we really got with life, and we are invited to make the most out of it.
We talked about bike lanes in New York City last week. I know this is an aside, but is it more bike friendly for you now than it used to be?
Very much so. Before, a couple of years ago, people always thought I'm a bike messenger, and now I'm actually together with many more people doing that for an enjoyment.
It's good to hear that of New York City. Okay, you do tell people to be adventurous. How would you advise them to push past trepidation or reluctance about trying on new things?
Yeah, we really have to maintain a sense of curiosity, because that makes us open for new experiences and also to meet new people and to be active in the future of our lives. And sometimes, of course, there are a couple of things that become more difficult. It could be seeing, it could be hearing, it could be moving. But there are alternatives then, what we can do, and we can always find different ways how to stay active and to stay engaged. And it's about not giving up and always find a new way to innovate.
All right, so being adventurous is one thing, but what kinds of things do you advocate so that people don't hurt themselves or lose their fortunes or do other things that could harm them in some way?
Yeah, and that is, of course, very important to keep in mind, especially when you actually you walk and you become a little bit less secure walking. It's extremely important that we make it safe as an environment. So in architecture, of course, there are many solutions about ramps, about grab bars, handrails, all of these kind of elements that actually are great for our older members, but they're also really great when I need it from time to time, when I'm tired or when I'm exhausted. So there's a great benefit actually to look through the lenses of older people and innovate our environments with that in mind.
There are a number of intriguing parts of the book, and one of them is one where you say collective set of tools. And, of course, since it is heavily illustrated, there's a picture of a toolbox and stuff. But you don't mean hammers and saws. So when you say collective set of tools, what do you mean?
Yeah, collective tools is really all the different abilities that we can collect in our lives, things that we can do, the things that can that make us active, and things that also maybe allow us to contribute with other people. When we can help them out in one way or another. Because the knowledge and experiences are really the things that nobody can ever take away from us. And it's more important to collect these than maybe some of the ownership elements that just pass.
So not the tangible stuff, but the things that you can offer to people that that you got stored in your head.
Absolutely. And how beautiful is it if you have a if you have a capability that other people don't have, and you can maybe teach them, you can teach younger generations about the things that you know and how to do. And with that, you also really create that kind of social intergenerational activity that is so important for us.
We're talking about growing older with Matthias Hollwich, the author of New Aging, Live Smarter Now to Live Better Forever, here on the Jefferson Exchange. One of the things you say here is participate in history being made. How? How do you mean that?
Yeah, so when so right now with our youth culture, it's always we look kind of into like the newness and also maybe become a little bit kind of how would I say, we forget sight of the things that we have experienced, which are actually amazing values that we add to our lives. So being part of history is about taking it all in and learning from it and making it a great memory and telling also the story later about what we have experienced. For me, for example, when President Obama came to office, I was at the Big Lawn in Washington, D.C., and it was an amazing moment, and I treasure it, and it's already many years ago, but I'm sure I'm going to tell many more people about it in my life.
So you were there for the inauguration, you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's an interesting one. It's don't discriminate against yourself. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, perception of age discrimination in a number of different ways, but now you're saying don't discriminate against yourself. How do we do that?
Yeah, the strange thing is that actually age discrimination is the only one that we will experience in our own future. So I think we should really, really watch out what we say to older people and how we treat them, because we don't want to be treated that way in our own future self. So that's how it kind of starts with how we treat ourselves within or each other in society. But it's also really important that we don't treat ourselves bad, because aging is a process. It's part of life. And we have to make sure that we don't discriminate and don't like it, because we can make something really beautiful out of it and embrace it, and maybe turn into a person with lots of knowledge, lots of things to give, with all of our networks, that can be a very rich contribution to society, and we don't become a burden.
I think you just hit the nail on the head for what my grandmother did. She discriminated against herself when she said, whatever you do, don't get old. There's a section that follows this called Take Aging for a Test Drive. Call the oldest person you know. How did you approach this project?
Yeah, so I actually took it to an extreme. I went into many retirement communities, nursing homes, and assisted living facilities, and I experienced it by being there for a couple of hours. And one of my colleagues, actually, she took it to yet another level. She actually moved into one of these nursing homes for 3 weeks and experienced it in its most extreme. So I don't think we all have to do that, but it's really important to just think through what are some of the challenges that might come our way. One of them is kind of challenging mobility, where we have to test our homes, that they are ready for us to move around, maybe also with a wheelchair at a given time. But also mobility is one of the big issues, because most of us are going to lose our driving license at a later time in our lives. And when we lose our driving license and we cannot use our car anymore, if you're not prepared for an alternative, it really creates a huge challenge in terms of our freedom. So my suggestion is to actually look for alternatives to a car early on. Get rid of your car, because it's also beautiful when it's self-determined and not somebody else tells you what to do. And maybe find a way how you can share a car with your neighbors, how you can tap into Uber or public transportation. Or ideally, you actually live at a place where you don't need a car to have access to the theaters, to the restaurants, and to the stores that you enjoy.
So this really is about considering the if I don't have a driver's license someday, if I need a wheelchair in the house someday, if I need grab bars on the walls, that sort of thing. You really need to look ahead and consider what might happen in your life.
Yeah, and when you look into statistics, it's actually very likely it will happen to us at a certain point in time. And me as an architect, maybe I'm quite rational. When I see that I have a 35% chance to not have my driving license with 80 years old, then I'd rather do something about it, because I don't want to take that risk.
It started with architecture. It turned into a whole lot more for Matthias Holwich. His book is called New Aging, Live Smarter Now to Live Better Forever. Bruce Mao Design contributed the illustrations, which are copious and all over the book. You can join us on the exchange. Let's get your ideas about things you've discovered about the aging process as you've gone into it, or things that you think about it if you're far away from it. 800-838-3760 to join us by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So that first section of the book is ours alone, but the second chapter is Be Social. How important is this, Matthias?
Be social is actually absolute key. When you look at the statistics, you see that 50% of people in a nursing home are there because of social deficits. And the sad truth is that we will lose some friends on the way, and maybe even our spouse gonna pass away earlier. So it's very, very important that we make sure that we can replenish our social networks around us all the time, because these are the people who will take off the edge at the moment where we do have some challenges. And that could be just that a neighbor picks up the groceries and helps us maybe drive to a store, or it could be our family that brings us into their house, back into the house, and makes it a community where we can actually age in grace. So being social is something that is absolutely essential for the later years. And the beautiful thing is, if we do that actually earlier, who doesn't like to be social? Who doesn't like to have good friends around us? So doing that earlier already makes a difference at the earlier years too.
You don't wait until the last minute to start being nice to people and try to make friends.
Exactly. So that's why it is always like an early investment and a give and take. We cannot depend on other people if we have not contributed early on to make them authentic, good participants in our lives.
Now, a number of studies, or at least anecdotes anyway, that have come around recently indicate that we meet most of our friends before age 40. So how do we counter that as we get beyond that age?
Yeah, that's why it's so important that we continue that very, very actively. An amazing source of friends are our colleagues, the people we work with. And maybe just let's change a little bit the attitude. Go out with the colleagues after work or do something on the weekend. Turn your colleague into a friend, and that is, of course, still possible all the time we are still working.
So I'm curious, in your own life, Matthias, how much have you embraced some of the things that you put out there in this book? Have you changed your approach to the places you hang out or the people you try to cultivate as friends and acquaintances?
Yes, very much so. I actually have a very active conversation with some of my friends to really live in close proximity, if not even in the same building, in the future. And we're already looking into places where that could happen and how we would design it so that everyone has their own kind of privacy, because that's very important when you live closer with your friends, but also then the possibility where we can upgrade some of the kind of public areas in the house where we would kind of celebrate our friendships.
So are you involved in co-housing at all? Because it sounds like you're embracing some of the concepts involved in co-housing, particularly for seniors.
Yeah, and there's actually an amazing trend that actually starts with the millennials. They don't want to own anymore. They want experiences. And there's a concept that's being implemented right now. It's called WeLive by the company WeWork, where you may have a very small apartment, but then the public spaces are grand and engaging and full with different programs and activities, and people love it. And I really see that future for the boomers to really have a whole new way of living together and caring for each other.
It's interesting. For some of them, it would probably be full circle because it's like coming back to the communes they might have lived in the 60s and 70s.
Absolutely. And the great ideas that now being reinvented. And it's a very interesting time in architecture right now.
Matthias Hollwich is an architect and our guest on The Exchange. His book is New Aging, Live Smarter Now to Live Better Forever. Now, you actually start tearing up Robert Frost here. Now, why should we break down fences to make good neighbors?
Yeah, with the fences, it is that maybe, for example, your neighbor has a beautiful pool and you have a great grill where you do barbecue. Why not actually get rid of the fence and share? And you can do that maybe that you say, like, every Wednesday you can come over and use the pool, and the other person comes over on another day. So even if you don't like your neighbor that much, that concept can allow you to actually start a conversation, maybe get a little bit more familiar with each other, and share some of these experiences and share some of these amenities that we have in our backyards.
So you're big on shared spaces, and in fact, you get into another section here called Turn Your Home into a Clubhouse, which I think is the idea you're just talking about here.
Absolutely, because we want to make sure that the home is so attractive so that other people want to come by and be there, right? Because it shouldn't be a burden to come visit maybe your parents or later on that you're being visited by other people. And it should be fun, it should be great, it should be a great experience. So it's just important to keep that in mind, that there are subtle things that we can do in our environments that keep us engaged and keep us social, because it's important that people want to come visit us.
So what are some of the, I mean, aside from letting people know that it's okay to come by at any time, what sorts of physical amenities or structures in the house would be the kinds of things that would give it that clubhouse feel?
Yeah, so for example, make sure that your dining room it's available for multiple people so that it's not just for four or six or at least up to eight. That would be a great possibility. Then people like to play games and make sure that there are tables and areas where you can very easily just set up your game, play a few rounds and have some fun with each other. Or it could also be like a wall with a TV that is set up that you can enjoy a movie together and make that a social experience. So these are really kind of not radical changes. These are really just adjustments by keeping just in mind how does it need to be configured when it's not just me or two people enjoying that? How does it work really when we're four or six or eight people that we can invite over so that it doesn't become a burden and it becomes just an enjoyment for everyone?
I've left something out so far, which is very clearly to get to know your neighbors, which is a really important part, particularly as everybody in the neighborhood, or at least you, are getting older in that neighborhood.
Yeah, and sometimes it's as easy as just stopping the car maybe a block away from home and walking and seeing your neighbors and saying hello strike a conversation, or invite them over and have a conversation and have an experience together. Because very often, I think one of the chapters which I actually really enjoyed, and it came very late into the game, we call Pass It On. We should actually start to have conversations about our lives and use the people around us as advisors and supporters of some of these decisions that we have. And that really takes away that fear and the anxiety of some of the things that are coming because we can share them.
So when you're talking about things like advanced directives or wills or things like that, to actually talk about them out loud and not just to think you need to keep it to yourself?
Absolutely. I think that's the trick.
Okay, Matthias Hollwich is our guest on The Exchange. His book is New Aging, Live Smarter Now to Live Better Forever. We'll come back and talk more with Matthias and take your phone calls and emails and thoughts about aging well when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange. It's our final segment here today. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Matthias Hollwich, the architect, is our guest on the Exchange. He's written a book that talks about aging and in ways that go far beyond ways in which to change our living structures. It's called New Aging, Live Smarter Now to Live Better Forever. And it gives us a chance to talk out loud about the things we think about aging and ways in which we can age well. Lots of great suggestions in the book. You can join us on the Exchange with yours at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, good morning. Speaking as a guy who will turn 75 in about 6 weeks, old people are not like wine and cheese. You do not put us away expecting us to age well.
Ah, so we don't
you
get...
understand that, people.
Okay.
I'm the one that runs with a three-year-old lapadoodle around the neighborhood. I'm the one that works with people when their lawnmower quits. I find the whole business, when people talk about me looking into senior living things, and they just start laughing because they know it ain't going to work.
So, Jim, at what point in your life did you begin to think in terms of strategies for aging, or did you just decide to keep doing what you were doing?
Well, I suppose for one thing, because I was very actively in friends and family, friends, parents, my mother, who was very active till strokes brought her down when she was 87. A lot of that stuff. I have a friend that people know, Jeannie Fry, here in town, who will be 91 pretty soon, and still very, very active.
Great stuff. Thanks.
Who you have in your life, and this business of putting people in a, quote, retirement or old folks' home, well, maybe we just don't age well.
Understood. Thanks for that, Jim. Very much appreciate that. So, Matthias, when we talk about structures, because this really launched you looking at senior facilities, and you like to think in terms of empowerment communities, not retirement communities. How do we get out of that monoculture, though, where so many people of the same age group are together?
Yeah, I think it really starts with now empowering all of us to know much more about it, and also giving ideas into everyone's head what we ourselves can make difference. Because ultimately, if the customers are not coming anymore, these places are going to close or they're going to change. And I think what we just heard, this is amazing. He's a pioneer for his own life and doing exactly what I wish everyone going to do. Make sure that being able to be social and active at the place we want to be. And ultimately putting nursing homes and assisted living facilities out of business.
Okay, so really we'd get to that point where we just wouldn't have facilities that are quite like that.
Yeah, and there are, of course, and I have to add a disclaimer here, there are some physical challenges where we do need a nursing home, and the people who work in there, they are heroes. They're amazing. They're doing work that is above and beyond their pay, and we have to be very grateful that they're there. But ideally, that help would actually now migrate much more into the homes of people so that they can actually stay engaged and active in their communities and don't have to move into these specialized environments where just all the old age people come together.
More thoughts on aging from listeners. Here is Kevin and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Sure.
I just wanted to mention one thing one can do to have enjoyable senior years is if you can volunteer. You get so much out of it, whatever your skill is you can pass on or your assets. Just getting people around where they need to go or just being with them, good way to make friends too.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks for that, Kat. Where do you volunteer? Go ahead.
Which is beautiful, what was just mentioned, it's about never retire, that we always should have meaningful activities throughout our lives because that keeps us relevant and engaged with our society. And that could be starting a new company, a new initiative, or volunteering. And there's so many beautiful opportunities around us, but we have to find them, or hopefully they find us, and then we have to make sure that they don't become a burden, so that we can really calibrate them towards the level of activities that are good for us.
Let me take an aside here, because I assume you know some people yourself, Matthias, who did fully retire. They don't volunteer. They might play golf, etc. And what can you tell us about what their lives have been like?
Yeah, so actually my father worked as a veterinarian for the government, and there's a mandatory retirement at 65. And he was really looking forward to it, and he retired, and he stopped doing any kind of work, and he traveled around, and he used his motorbike to drive throughout the country. And after 3 years, he got so bored, and he knocked on the door from my sister, who's actually also a veterinarian, and he started to work for her. And first he worked 4 days a week, and today, I mean, he's 74, he's doing 1 day a week. So it's in tune with the way how he wants to do his work. But it was really a beautiful opportunity for him to step back into some responsibilities and participate, and especially with my sister. I think both of them had and have a great time.
And use the skills he's got and not just have him lie fallow and get put on a shelf.
Absolutely, and being able to do so, it's really the key. We learn all lifelong, and these skills are really valuable, and it would be a shame if we put them to rest.
Let's take another call. Here's Jeannie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Matthias Holwich about his book, New Aging.
Hi, my cat's get out of here. A neighbor just walked by while I was on hold, and I said, no, the cantina is closed. I do that. I have a table, play games. I used to sit alone and brood. I thought, well, I have my own place. Mm-hmm. I'm not in a senior home. But yet I wouldn't do much but sit here and think. Then it gets into abuse, you know, whether prescriptions or alcohol, which made me go down further and age faster and just made things worse and worse. I finally got out and started doing a few things with some of the kids around here, like baking cookies and the joy in that. And what you said about getting a neighbor maybe to take you shopping, and they're younger and we chat, and it gets me out since I don't drive. Mm-hmm. And I have a lady here right now waiting to show me the Mail Tribune newspaper. Waving at my cat. So... What do you think about that when they're alone too much?
Yeah, good point. I can hear the cat. Thanks for that, Jeannie. Appreciate it. Matthias, alone too much, what happens to people?
Yeah, I think people start to retract from society, and they also kind of stop being active and engaged. And that is really a route that really can cause a lot of problems very, very quickly on. And I think it's beautiful to hear that when the neighbor just rings the bell and says, hi, come over and let's do something together. And on the other side is we're talking so much about mindfulness in our society. And how beautiful is it to stop at an older person's place and take that 10 minutes or 15 minutes for a conversation that really grounds us. So it's a great benefit for our whole society when we really engage with our older people again.
So start it while you're young, and then you can get it back when you get older.
Absolutely. And there's actually in Japan during their recession in the 80s, they introduced a point system that when you were cleaning the streets, for example, in your neighborhood, you could use these points that people gave help to your older members in the family somewhere else where they were living. And it really created an amazing social exchange for people. And when the recession ended, the government wanted to get rid of that service again, and people boycotted it, and they wanted to keep it because it's so much more beautiful when you get help from your neighbor than getting help from a nurse that's being paid through a corporation.
Betsy in Medford sent an email in, which is essentially a plug for the OLLI program at Southern Oregon University. These are all over the country, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. So there's OLLI chapters hither and thither. To make it shorter, she says, I'm an OLLI student, instructor, and volunteer worker. It's full of wonderful people having a lot of fun while learning and making new friends. You can Google OLLI to learn more and to sign up. So education is a big one that you get into in the book as well.
Yeah, and the education, it's really also cross-generational. So our older members can maybe learn something more about technology, things that are happening in the fast pace in our society. And younger people can learn a little bit how life used to be and how we can use practical things that are maybe be done by hand, which all of these kind of skills we already have lost and have forgotten about it. And that is really the vibrancy. As soon we exchange ideas and skills, it connects us and makes us stronger together.
And one of your recommendations, too, for staying busy after retirement is to preserve your heritage. In what sense, heritage?
Yeah, the heritage is what we have experienced in our private life, in our professional life. And it's really interesting to document it and actually to present it to either way your family members or maybe to other people who are just curious about it. For me, it was always more amazing moments when I was just sitting next to my grandmother and she showed me photos of her life. And these are moments that I really treasured with her and I learned a lot about our family history and also the history of my country.
So there is advice in the Never Retire chapter about become a trader. Are we talking a stock market trader? And I imagine that comes with a few cautions.
Yeah, absolutely. When a trader in the stock market, there is, of course, the big disclaimer that we have to make sure that as older we get, that our investments are sound and safe. But there's also another kind of a trader where we can trade skills. So maybe I know things. For me, I'm not a cook, but I'm really, really good in cleaning dishes. I would love to invite somebody just to cook with me. I can learn a little bit, and I do the dishes, and together we have a good time.
Well, and there's a whole chapter on eating in here, and it's actually called You Are How You Eat. So it's not just about the stuff you eat, but also where, when, and with whom you eat. Let's talk about eat in style. What does that mean, for example?
Yeah, so there are, of course, a lot of books out there that give us advice about the right things to eat, and I didn't want to repeat that, but it's also equally important how we eat. So eating in style means that we take a little bit of time out of our busy schedule, and we celebrate that we take that moment of eating and enjoying, and to set the table and not just to take out with us home. Sit on the couch and just eat down what we have in front of us. So to really make it a mindful experience and hopefully we can actually share it either way with our partner or our family or maybe with a neighbor.
All right. So maybe don't read with each other at the table, that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Be face to face. So other things that come up later in the book, make your car a luxury is a really interesting concept. Explain that one.
Yeah, and that really comes with the reality that at some point we may not be able to drive a car or not allowed to drive a car. So very early on, to make it a luxury, we already find ways how we can compensate for not having a car. And it might also actually help us to walk a little bit more, stay fit and active. And when we walk around the neighborhood, we might actually meet some people we can become social with. So there are many different advantages when we can reduce the use of our cars.
Now, we've kind of held off on your major specialty, which, of course, is architecture. You are an architect, but you do suggest having an architect review your home, looking at and for what?
Yeah, so architects really have to or can review your home. The one kind of very clear kind of advantage is that we have knowledge about ADA compliance. That means handicapped accessibility. So that sounds very technical, and it maybe come down to grab bars and turning radiuses. But as an architect, we can make that, of course, also beautiful and really in tune with the home. But that is exactly the help that we as a profession can really offer, so that we make sure that the house is designed, that it does become a support system for us when we're getting older, and not a trap that maybe make our life even harder.
You also recommend thinning out the stuff we've accumulated over the years. You can live simpler as you get older, which is another suggestion here. Matthias, I get the feeling you had a lot of fun putting this book together.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was actually fascinating because there were years and years and years of research, but then actually breaking it down to these kind of really fun elements that are so easy, digestible, and handable.
It really it's a very fun book to read and easy with all the illustrations. Matthias Holwich with Bruce Mau Design put together New Aging, Live Smarter Now to Live Better Forever. Matthias, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, you bet. Take care.